All right, Matthew Gospel chapter 4, verse 1. This was our text last week. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I think we've rephrased this before. How did I rephrase it? Then Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, where he was led by the Spirit. He was not led up to be tempted. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and there he was tempted of the devil. Big difference in what I just said now. God does not lead you and position you for temptation. Mm-mm. He was led up into the wilderness, of course. That's a consecration. Wilderness is a place without people. So when you leave the city, you leave known environment, and you go, for example, when we go for retreats, that's wilderness. You don't see your friends, you don't see families, you don't see colleagues at work. So that's a wilderness experience. Does that make sense? It does not necessarily mean where there's bush or where there's nobody. All right, so Jesus was led up to consecrate himself, to separate himself, and right there he was tempted of the devil. And what happened? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Some of you don't even get to fast 40 days. 12 o'clock, you have broken fast. He says, just tea. I remember some years ago, I was not in Nigeria, so I was in another country, and they were taking a fast. So the pastor said, I was just there for a few times. The pastor said, so you can take tea, ensure it's just with biscuit. I said, if it's about tea and biscuit, I can fast a year. I mean, you know, that would be a nice fasting, right? I'm ensuring I'm mentioning fasting and fasting and fasting because we are about to. Amen. You should have known now. What's that? Start stressing. We're going to go on a 40 days soon. So Jesus, if that sounds like bad news to you, something's wrong with you. You need to renew your mind. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's another time to level up higher. Amen. Amen. So Jesus was hungry. Nobody fasts for 40 days genuinely and does not get hungry. And something happened. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What does that tell you? He's saying, it is possible that man lives by bread. He's not saying bread is absent or man cannot live by bread. He said man cannot live by bread alone. So Jesus is making a distinction in two kinds of living. There's a man that lives by bread alone, and there's a man that lives by bread and a steady stream of God's word. I'm a supernatural man. I live a supernatural life, led by the Spirit of God, understanding His times and purpose. I walk in my call. I don't miss my steps. Amen. I don't. So Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone. So it's possible to live by bread. But he says, that's not God's plan for man. God has a time for everything. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, there's a time for everything under the sun. Then he'll go ahead and say, a time to burn, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest. Do you know what causes chaos and mayhem in people's lives? They rest when they are meant to run, and run when they are meant to rest. There are people who are running around hardworkingly, and they are planting in harvest time. You will not run a million miles in the wrong direction. Yeah. They're planting in harvest. Or they're waiting for harvest in the planting season. There's a time for everything. And so Jesus told he told the tempter, this is not the time for that. I don't live on bread alone. I don't live on bread. That's what you said. You're expecting that my life will follow after the pattern of my appetite. You're wrong. And is that not how a lot of us live? So, yeah. I said something last week. I said, sometimes this is the way we think. If I need it and God can do it, then I should have it. But that's wrong theology. We think if I need it, God can do it, and it's nice. It's not like it's a sin. Then I should have it. And God is saying, that's not my plan. Was Jesus hungry? If you are the one, won't you be? 40 days. I don't know if I've shared the story before. But we had a fast, myself and my friends, when we were much younger. I'm still very young, but we were much younger then. And we just met this brother on dining table. There were two of them. We were one on dining table with bread and tea and egg. There's a difference between I broke my fast mistakenly. There's a difference between I planned to break my bread and egg and tea. That's not a mistake. It means you went to the kitchen, you put oil, don't let me embarrass myself. You put oil, right? You broke the egg. You put onions. You put a pinch of salt, right? You put pepper. Now, wife is saying, nah, you're going to make this thing very well now. I'm not. You put pepper. You do shuku, right? And then you pour. It depends on which one you want to do. If you want to do brush or last type of eggs, the scrambled one. This brother, we met him on the table. The other one, he was so hungry that he went to the shower. And because we were policing each other. Hallelujah. Learn to fast. Learn to take fast. It's part of the way you control yourself. And so Jesus was hungry. He was hungry. Could he make stone bread? Huh? You can't do everything. He's the Almighty God. He is the mighty God, the great I am. Is that not the song? Hallelujah. Yeah, she. He later fed 5,000 men, not counting the children and the women, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I wish I was there. Amen. 5 loaves. So he can. So he's hungry. Is there need for it? Yes. Can God do it? Yes. Did God do it? No. I've said it before. I said, God is not going to do a miracle to impress you. And God's... and this is the part many don't like. Let me say this. You can't be led by life situations. That's not how God leads us. God's timing and God's purpose must prevail. You can't be, if you are led by your appetite alone in life, you are in trouble. So that means when I need admission, let me just start with some basic things. I need admission, yes, God must do it. God must do it. In fact, sometimes we judge God based on the things I need that He's not doing. And we say, God is not answering my prayers, but He is. Hallelujah. I said something last week. I said, sometimes your prayer point is you holding God's hands back. What you need is not a prayer point. What you need first is to understand God's purpose and time. Then you pray with that. So that you don't pray amiss. The moment you understand what God wants to do with me now, it's easy to pray. So I don't start praying for rain, for the rain to stop when I'm meant to get an umbrella. Or I don't start praying for the famine to stop when God is telling Joseph, save. There'll be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Save in the 7 years of plenty, so that when it's the 7 years of famine, you are not doing ratos in teleboke shatalabaya. We forbid famine. No. You save. So if there's something you will need to work on, is to how to understand God's purpose and God's time. What is God doing now? If you're using your need and appetite to judge what God is doing, you have missed God. If it's by that, Joshua will not walk on water. You know, Joshua did walk on water. Amen. He will wait by Jordan, and he will be pointing the rod and say, split. And God will say, you're not Moses. Are you listening to me? You're not Moses. How did Moses win the war? They raised up Moses' right hand. So the hand did not come down throughout the war. God knows how the circulation was. Amen. So people had to, it was so heavy, of course, that people had to support his hand. And as long as Moses' hands were up, Israel were winning. Joshua. Imagine Joshua to say, raise my hand. No. God told Joshua, you bring out your sword. I will stop the sun for you, but you will fight. Moses sat down, you will fight. You must understand your own purpose. If you walk with every other person's destiny, in quote, is there a Bible word? There's no destiny in the Bible. If you walk with every other person's call, you miss yours. You will not miss yours. But how do a lot of people miss it? Because they are led by their needs. Life already gave you a template. And I was telling someone earlier this week, I don't know if I should share this. He was telling me how he said the country is hard. I said, okay, yes. And he said, like, things are very difficult. He does not have a dime. I said, okay, I understand. I said, but you. So he's a first-class graduate of electronics engineering from UI. I said, okay, but you study let. He said, yes. I said, I've not been able to get a job. So I said, now, this is not for everybody. This was for him when I said this. I said, okay, you'll not be able to get a job. Why are you looking for a job? And that question was strange to him. He said, to get money. So he said, well, you can get money other ways, apart from a job. Amen. Before, who has money here? I'm not blessing the money, I just need. Alright. So thank you. So this is a 500 naira note, right? Can I dash it out? This is a 500 naira note. Before this was introduced, everything else was money. Right? Your cocoa. You could use your cocoa to get sandals. You could use your yam cassava to get what else? To get clothes. And if you wanted to rent an apartment, if you wanted to, you could take something there, or you could sweep the man's yard, and then in exchange, he'll give you something. Then some people came and said, this is what we use. But before this, everything else was money, and it's still money. Selah, who wants this? Hallelujah. I say, it should have been 500,000 briefcase. I would have said it's a super Sunday. God, why? All right. If it was 500,000, you people will fight. I said, you can't be led by your needs. You can't. You can't afford it. I am led by the Spirit of God. I say I'm led by the Spirit of God. Look at Hebrews 5. So Jesus refused to turn stone to bread. Why? He said, man cannot live by bread alone. Man must live by a steady stream of God's word. That means I hear it in the morning. I hear it in the noon. I hear it at the evening. Sometimes it's not pleasant to what I want to hear. Sometimes it's not what I want to hear now. But you know what? I believe him. I trust him. And I follow after him. Hebrews 5. In verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say. Things that are hard to be said. Seeing that you are dull of hearing. So this is, I want to say this is Paul talking to the church. Yeah. Verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the things that are the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become such that has need of milk and not strong. Can we read verse 13 together? For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a... Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are foolish. Decides to discern. The writer is not saying milk is bad. He says you grow by milk. But there must be a time you outgrow milk. He didn't say, if you are living by milk, didn't Peter say, as newborn babies, what's with that tutu? You desire the sincere milk of the word, right? That you may grow therein. So, he didn't say milk is bad. He said, there must come a time when you are not living by milk. Milk is nutritious. Milk is sweet. Milk is tasty. He said, but there's a time you must live by strong meat. Have you taken strong meat before? He didn't say meat too. Have you taken strong meat before? Strong meat can embarrass you in a party. One of the reasons why I don't eat outside. Strong meat will hook you here. Strong meat will make you pause. You cannot finish the rest of the food. Because you don't want to do that again. Outside. You understand? You know that. Statube knows it very well. She does it. That's strong meat. That's what you know. Strong meat is at play. Paul says, if you are used to milk, there must be a point where you outgrow it. If every time you hear God's word is glory, 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 that's nice. But there are times God will speak to you and you will say, not again. Lord, please, not again. Are you listening to me? There are times like that. Because at that moment, it's not palatable. It's not what you want to hear. I know what I'm talking about. Has God ever given you an instruction before and just say, why? Why? It's called strong meat. We don't put it in the mouth of babies. We don't put it in the mouth of babies. So Jesus at that time was hungry. Can a miracle happen? Yes. Did a miracle happen? No. I trust the Lord. I said, I trust the Lord. Strong meat is when you really know you are doing exactly what God wants you to do, even when it does not suit you. You've been praying to God. Let me just give you a very basic example. God, my rent. I receive job that can pay me the kind of money that can help me foot the bill. And that's the week God is telling you, you see that your piggy vest or that your cowrie wise or which other platform do people save? No money point. Don't mention money point. I've said carry wise already. Which other platform? Whatever platform. Maybe I should be the one since there's no other third party. Prophet Abi. Hallelujah. The license will be the issue. So, whatever platform you're saving money, God says, take that money, go and give it to sister. No. I'm not giving an instruction. No. After service, just got 10 million here. I love this church. You know, take that money, drop it for sister. And you then look at the sister, and she's well adorned, dressed well, high heels. You know, yeah, I be God. I even need this money more than this person. Forget my rent. Just look at both of us. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that's the instruction. Let me give you an example. Come here. Let me show you something. I want to drive this home more. If he's going like this, and I say, bro, well, ensure you touch that wall. But he's already going like this. Go. Ensure you touch that wall and come back here. What he did is no obedience. What he did was agree. Are you listening to me? He didn't obey me. He only agreed. He's already going that way. You know what obedience is? Come. So, follow me. This is obedience. He is going the opposite direction. But because I said, follow me, what happened? He changed direction. Now let's do it again. You see, at this point is when you obeyed. That's what you call encounter. This is when I encountered him. Any encounter that does not change your direction, have your seat. So for you to say, I have obeyed God, oftentimes than not, it means it's not going your way. What he said is not even on your path. You didn't have plans for it. You didn't have plans to relocate. You didn't have plans to change that work. You didn't have plans to pick up that cell. You didn't have plans to say, now I want to start teaching a group of young people. You didn't have the plan. What was your plan? Learn God's word, go home. Inshallah, ratabana, kasatabaya. Eli, Eli, sabatani, fimile. That was your plan. Learn God's word, sing psalms. You know, if you ask the average person, what's your dream? I've asked people before. Say, I marry myself and my wife, my children. Give us like on a very nice island with internet and free food forever. Right? And we can visit anyone we want to visit. Is that not ideal? Don't you want it? You want to say amen? You'll be everybody could get that. I just wanted you to say amen first. Hallelujah. That's nice. But while you're thinking about that, while you're working your entire life towards that, then God said, I need a missionary in Libya. I need a missionary in Libya. And your name came up. While I was looking through my sons on the earth, I saw Alo Daniel Adedamola. Wale de Libya. Your entire life, you don't even know the capital of Libya. That is obedience. Obedience is not you're already in Lagos. You are planning to move to Lagos Island. Then God said, go and start a cell in Lagos Island. You agree. I say, he's the God who answers prayers. Confirmation is his name. It's a form of obedience, but you're already going that direction. What you call a great encounter with God changes your direction. It changes your plan. I said something last week. I said, allow God change your plan. His own plans are better. I trust God with my life. Every encounter that does not change your direction is not great enough. Obedience oftentimes changes your direction. It changes your appetite. It changes your desires. There are things I would probably rather want to do now with this time of my life as a younger man. But there are things I can't just do. Number one, I've got to be here this morning. Hallelujah. I've got to prepare to be here this morning. Not just be here. I have to prepare to be here. And I'm already preparing for the next 30 Sundays. Amen. So that already takes away some things that I naturally would gravitate towards. You get what I'm saying? It's obedience to change your direction. Jesus said, I am hungry. But I know God does not do miracles to please me. You must get there in your head. Where you know that I can have a need. And God is saying, not now. Strong meat. You know why a lot of Christians get disappointed early? I have a need. And God is not doing anything about it. What kind of God is this? What kind of God is this? He's not doing anything about it. I don't even know what next to do. You stay strong. I'm strong in the name of the Lord Jesus. I live by the word. I fulfill his purpose. Even if it's not pleasant at the moment, I fulfill his purpose. I live supernaturally. I want you to say it as I live supernaturally. I fulfill his purpose. I fulfill his purpose. I fulfill his dreams. Yeah. That's how to live. I live supernaturally. My eyes are open to see God's grand plan away from mine and to follow after it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your definition of God's grace cannot be that you have wealth at this moment. You say, how do I know that you're following God? I have money. See, that's your prayer point. It was someone prayed at the club last night. So that can be all that God is about. Now you get what I'm saying? Your prayer point is, God, 5 billion, 5 billion, 5 billion. If they ask you any other thing, I don't know. Souls will come if I can only get 5 billion. What about, you said you were going to join music team? Ha ha ha. 5 billion. And we ensure we record. That 5 billion, someone just went and said, you know, there was a philanthropist in Lagos that donated $200 million in 2003. You think about that and you say, where do you want to start the prayer from? So that can be what God is about. That can be all. His plans are way more than that. Are you listening to me? So in God's calendar, you must understand there are times and there are seasons. And God will not move the earth to please you. So what do we do? We must learn to walk with God so that we don't build in vain. I don't build in vain. You must learn to know not every time will stones turn to bread. You must learn to know that. God has his own time and we follow him. We saw that last week, right? We saw that last week. And God has his own time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians 6. You learning something? Are you obeying? Oh my God. I live in obedience. Like a city set upon a year. I show God's colors everywhere. I show God's colors everywhere. I go to God's color everywhere. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 6. We are understanding God's purpose. We're learning to understand God's purpose and time. Why will not turn every stone to bread? Strong meat. 2 Corinthians 6. Are you there? See how Paul explains his own life. So if there's a minister of the gospel that you can say, my example in ministry, I think if you say Paul, nobody is going to argue with you, right? Come on. You say Paul, everybody can say, you're a man of God. See how he explains his life. Verse 1. We then, as workers together with Christ, we beseech you that you do not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, I have heard you in time accepted. In the day of salvation I have succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul says, give you no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities and in distress, in stripes, imprisonment. This is someone like, if he does not tell you this, you'll say, I want exactly Paul's kind of ministry. But he came with, in the same breath that Paul will say, the entire Asia saved. He says, in tumult, in imprisonment, in labor, in watchings, in fastings. And he says, by pureness, verse 6, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Can we read verse 8 to verse 10 together? By honor, wait. By honor and dishonor. He's telling you, there are times in my ministry when men honored me. And there were times it was full of dishonor. Paul will not judge his ministry in the dishonorable times and say, because everybody is just dishonoring me, it must mean that God did not call me. Sometimes that's how we talk. If God will not provide this for me, if God will not make this for me, then how am I sure that I'm serving Him? If I have trusted God for this for so long and it's not happening, am I sure I'm in God's plan? You are being trained on milk. There must come a time that after 40 days fasting, you still recognize that not all stones will turn to bread. If we have not gotten there, we might be building in vain. The essence of this teaching is to open your eyes, to pray, to understand God's time and what God wants to do now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, by honor and dishonor. In the same ministry. In today's language, you have said, if you want to know a man of God, a true man of God, he will be honorable. People will honor him everywhere. Paul says, it's by honor and dishonor. Verse 8, by evil report and good report. Meaning that a man can have reports. He can have his reputation smeared all around. And he's still in God's will. That does not make the media. The media tells you, no. What we are seeing about him is not good. What we are seeing about her is that she doesn't pray. By a good report and evil report, he says, I'm still in God's will. So I must learn to be trained, not just in the soft moments. Not just when things go my way. Not just when I agree with the direction God is going. But even when he says, follow me. Even when he says, change your direction, then I'm ready to change. Strong meat. Understanding that God's purpose weighs over my appetite. Are you learning something? He says, by evil report, by good report, as deceivers, yet true. As unknown, yet well known to God. As dying, behold, we live. As chastened, and not killed. As sorrowful, yet we always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. This is the life of a minister of the gospel. Are you listening to me? This is the life of a minister of the gospel. It's not all rosy. It's not all smooth. It's God's time. The scripture says, at the fullness of time, God sent his son, begotten of a woman. God sent his son. At the fullness of time, Galatians 4. At the fullness of time. So we must recognize, what is God doing now? What is God saying now? Are you with me? God has a time, and you understand it in Jesus' name. So, Paul says, as sorrowful, yet rejoice, as sorrowful. So you must grow beyond milk. Are you hearing me? You must grow beyond milk. We need as a church to know when God is moving. We said something last week. We said, there are three kinds of God's purpose and plan. We said, there are ones that you cannot touch. You don't touch everyone. It's sealed forever. We said, there are the conditional ones, right? Where if you do this, he said, my people, called by my name, we humble themselves and call upon me. What will happen? I'll hear them and I'll heal their land. Conditional. That means I'll not heal your land. You don't call upon me. But we have said, they are also the temporary move of God. Where God is doing something, and you see that a lot. Where God is doing something like now, and then he tells you, I'm going away from this. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, Three times God told Isaiah, I want to do a new thing. Three times. In Isaiah 48. Let me show you. Are you learning something? Ah, I didn't hear you very well. Isaiah 48. Understanding God's purpose and time. I hope you do. It changes everything. It gives you less time to bother. And happier times. Amen? You just know. I'm at the center of His will. You just know. You just know. You just know. Even though the storm is raging. Even though it looks like I don't really get myself. But I am at the center of His will. Yeah, the boat might be shaken. Might look like I've not gotten myself. But Jesus is in the same boat. I'm at the center of His will. So I'm not moved. In my heart, there is joy. In my mouth, there is laughter. All around me, the peace of God prevails. For I am in the center of God's will for my life. And all around me, the peace of God prevails. I say all around you, the peace of God prevails. Recognize it. Recognize what He's saying. Recognize that still small voice that's changing your direction. I know you have that plan. You have that grand architecture. You have drawn everything. And God is saying, follow me. Allow me to sort you out. Allow me to sort you out. You might not even understand where you are right now. But trust me. Israel will be in Egypt for 430 years. Don't clock out 429 years. Don't clock out. Don't clock out. Don't clock out. God has His time. God has His time. He says time and chance happens to them all. I have seen everything under the sun. And the race is not for the swift. Neither bread for the wise. Neither favor to men of understanding. It's about God's time. I walk in God's time. I live in God's choice. Amen. Isaiah 48. Is that where we are? Verse 6. You have heard. See all this and will not declare it. I have showed you new things from this time. Even in hidden things. And you did not know them. I have shown you even hidden things. So he says new things. So God is telling Isaiah, new things. You know, it would be stupid of me not to recognize that God is doing new things. We said last week, He was feeding them with manna for how many years? 40 years. Imagine, that means there's a generation that never knew that you prepare food. I don't want to say if you're less than 40 years, stand up. But it means that if you're less than 40 years right now, and you were in Israel, you never knew that they prepare food. It will be said in as history. Other nations. Don't get me wrong, my son. Other nations, they prepare ofe sala, ofe were, banga. Which other one again? Every other soup. Ewedu, eforiro. Say, but we, children of God. That's what they would be saying. But we, sons of God, and ma'am, we wait 7 a.m. in the morning. Yahweh provides. And true to the word, the son will grow up every morning collecting his own portion. They learned not to keep it till the next day because another one will show. Then God says to Joshua, now that you have entered Canaan, the manna stops. Do you know that sometimes we are at that point in our lives and we start praying to God? Why is manna not showing? What's happening to our salvation? Revival. Manna must show. But God has moved. God says, you are in Canaan. You will now till the ground. you will eat of the fruit of the fields. That means God's purpose has changed. If we don't understand it, we will waste prayer points. If we don't understand the new things God wants to put in place, we will keep praying and be struggling. And God will say, nah, I have left that. When the cloud of glory moves, you move. Are you listening to me? He says, I have showed you new things from this time. Isaiah 48, 6. Look at Isaiah 43. I said three times, right? Isaiah 43. When he promised the Messiah. Isaiah 43. Verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. God is saying, forget the former things. Forget the old things. This is not the time to look back and say, this is how God has been doing it. Mm-mm. Learn when he wants to show you a new thing. If he doesn't show you a new thing, you continue with the former thing. Is that clear? Is that clear? Because sometimes, in the bid of finding out purpose, we want to engineer it by ourselves. Don't do that. Don't engineer God's purpose for yourself. No, God must give me something. No. Sometimes God's purpose is as simple as you grow spiritually. You bring other people into Christ. And you ensure your children are trained by God's word. I don't like that kind of purpose. I want the one that I stand on pulpit of crusade. That's not for everybody. Are you listening to me? Say, I want to be Adeboye, EA Adeboye Junior. Don't TIACLO. Amen. God's call, purpose for every man is different. There are people who God has called that you pastor people, seven people. And that's God's call for him. You see, that man, if he goes and pastor a mega church, he has failed. We recognize God's plan. Say, we heal the sick in your name. We work miracles in your name. Say, I didn't send you. The issue was not the gifts. It was not the miracles. The issue was the purpose. Is we turned stones to bread in your name. And he said, who asked you? Jesus was hungry and he said, this stone will not turn to bread. It's not God's purpose and it's not in his time. It's not God's purpose and it's not in his time. It means that God will not do a miracle just to please your appetite. He will not stop the earth just to show you that he is God. No! He is God anyway. Are you listening to me? It's milk and strong meat. It's not just milk. Paul says, ministry is full of honor and dishonor. Is there sorrow? Yet we have joy. Hallelujah. He was poor, yet making many rich. That means at some point in his life, he was poor. No, Paul said, he said, I could have told you to give me things, even though I had need of them. He said, but no, I didn't want to abuse. He said in the same vein in Philippians 4, he said, I knew how to abase. That means there was a time this man had nothing. Sometimes that's the time in our lives where we question God's call and say, what's going on? He said, ministry. No, she, I don't get. If JB, they say God takes care of his own. Are you in his purpose? That's what I want us to find out. It's not a collective prayer. It's what you pray for yourself. So that you're not on the wrong track. Are you listening to me? You won't miss it though. He says, remember not the former things. Verse 19 says, behold, I'll do anything. Isaiah 43:19. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the hosts, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, and to give to drink to people my chosen. Amen. Isaiah 42:9. Three times God said he's going to do a new thing. I don't have time today. I'll have shown you the difference between new neo and new kainos. Because I can buy a new car. It's new. It's brand new. But everyone, people also have that new. You get what I'm saying? Stanula has it. Broadway has it. Star Jennifer has it. Star Tio has it. Star Tenny has it. You get what I'm saying? I can also buy a new car that nobody has. There are two different words. New or something that's never existed before. And new or something that is just because it's new to you. And God's plan sometimes takes the shape of both. We'll look at it much later. Where God can give you something he has given someone else. Like Lot and Abraham. God did not call Lot. Lot just said, God called my guy. I'm going. It's a new call, but it's not a kainos. I don't want to use Greek word to bamboozle you. Forget. We'll get there. In simpler terms. Let's go. Amen. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I'll tell you of them. What's God saying? He said, I'll tell you of them. Amen. I hear them. I hear them. I hear them. He says, I'll tell you of them before they spring forth. Before it happens. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I grow beyond milk. So when it's time for the new, you don't complain about change. You don't complain. Everything is just changing. I don't understand. It's time for the new. True consecration is to recognize that your appetite does not direct the move of God. That's true consecration. True consecration is to recognize that my needs don't necessarily move the earth. But how do you now draw the line between ensuring that God meets your needs because you ask and consecration? You find out purpose. You find out purpose and time. I just hope this teaching, you need to go and listen to it again. Quite a lot of things I'm saying now, whether you like it or not, are flying over your head. These are the teachings you listen to three times. And you pray with it. Are you listening to me? So make you what he talks about. God is going to take you to different times. Different things are going to happen. Some of them you are going to like it. Some of them, not really. Jesus was hungry, yet stones will not turn to bread. God anointed David, but he was running. The one that God has left is chasing the one that God has anointed. Is that not weird? You'd have thought, because God anointed David, if David just stand against Saul like this, Saul would just go blind. Why? Anointing. Abi? No. He was running and God was running with him. God was one giving direction. Hide in the cave. He's coming. Hide in the cave. And Saul will run past. And they will say, this anointing, is it not a curse like this? Why can't I just be a free man? If your anointing is that great to kill Goliath, why is it not killing Saul? And God is saying, it's not the time. 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 He makes all things beautiful in his time. Don't jump before God. You see, different seasons come together to make it. Who knows how to make vegetable soup? Brother, put down your hand. I know, but I'm not going to tell you. Okay. So give me some of the ingredients you use. Vegetables, obviously. Palm oil. Fish. Palm oil. Locust beans. Bro, you're raising your hand now. Suddenly you can't say anything. Ah, achi ke. Which one is achi? Which one will be achi? Pepe. Oh, you can't say achi. Pepe. How much is your vegetable? It's not what you used to breakfast though. Now, if you take vegetable on its own and you eat it raw, you puke. If you take pepper and eat it, you know how it ends. Nobody will tell you, go and practice it. If you take salt and you say, I don't want the vegetable soup, I just want the salt in it, nobody is going to teach you. You can go and practice it. If you take locust bisque alone, we'll run from you. The beauty of the soup is that it is prepared together. You don't judge your life by individual seasons. You let God finish cooking. I say, let God finish cooking. Amen. Sometimes you're on fire. It's steaming you. You make biscuits. The flour itself. You don't eat the flour alone. The flour. I say, I just want to take flour. Nobody does that. They put salt, they put sugar, milk, right? But the beauty of the biscuit is that they all come together to make a beautiful thing. Your life will be beautiful. Amen. I say you will lead a beautiful life. Amen. But allow God cook. Let him cook. You know that meme, let him cook. Let God cook. Are you listening to me? Don't judge him yet. He's not done. At the fullness of time, the entire host of Israel left Egypt. At the fullness of time. Who owns the time? God. He says, until the cup of the Amorite is full, there's nothing God can do. Until the cup of the Amorite, that is his time. The reason why it appears like it's a struggle. The reason why it appears like, how am I doing? I don't even know. I'm floating. You have not found out where you are in God's timing. The moment you find out, you'll be at peace. Are you listening to me? It's like a friend of mine. I'll just share the stories. I digress a bit. So years ago, he had an encounter with a patient who was diagnosed of certain conditions that can be transmitted through blood. It's a viral condition. We all know it, right? It's a viral disease that can be transmitted through blood, sex, and all of that. So he had this. So they said, you have to take, what do you call it? No. The one that serves as a deterrent. The one you must take in 24 hours. Post-exposure prophylaxis, PEP. Thank you. So, he started taking another. You know that? 3 days after, he now started feeling sick. He started feeling sick. So, different things don't happen to him at the same time. So, if you went to medical school, or you even passed the first of Lutz, just pass the front like Boshie every day. If you pass the front of Luke, you even know that viral disease, what it does is suppress the immune system, and then that makes people catch different sicknesses easy. So this is my guy started feeling different things. He said, PM, is this how life is going to end? By serving my skills. I said, who told you have this disease? So all of us know this thing. I said, but you took the PEP. That's not how it works. So I said, okay, let's rest every fear. Go and take the test. He said, no, I'd rather not know. I said, if you don't know, how do you take the medication? He said, you're already talking about medication. My life is ruined. I said, your life's not ruined yet. Amen. Take the test. So he took the test. Negative. 2 weeks after, he took the test. Negative. I said, so is your life ruined? But you know, by just taking the test, he now fell sick again. He wasn't thinking that. Why? He now understands, I don't have it. If you understand where you are in God's time, you worry less. The reason for your worry and your agitation is you don't even know what he has called you to do and if you are doing it now. But I walk with God. Different ingredients have to come together. You don't eat the onion alone. None of you mentioned onion, by the way. Bad chefs. I mean, they don't use onion for it before I disgrace my family. You have to hallelujah. Together, it comes out worthy. Let God work on you. God works with time and purpose. There's a tribe of Israel that are called the sons of Issachar. You see them in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. The special things about the sons of Issachar is that they understood what God wanted to do at a particular time. Like, they just knew that this is where God is going now. And when God leaves that, they say, this is the times we are in. You understand the times. Amen. I thought you see bigger amen. Amen. I pray for you that at every turn and corner, you understand God's time. Amen. You won't take off before time. Amen. You won't lag behind. Amen. Pray for me. You won't take off before time. Amen. And you won't lag behind. What God's life and spirit does to us is that it makes you what he wants to talk about. But you see, in the making of the man of God, it takes some faces. God works in time. There's a reason why Genesis was documented like that. The first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, and he said, on the seventh day he rested. God is keeping track of time. It was said that God would come to Adam in the cool of the evening. He's keeping track of time. Not just your 24 hours. We're talking about seasons. We're talking about moments. There was an illustration Bro Egan gave some years ago. over 2 decades ago. And he said, a particular man went to the train station and he said, at what time does the 8 o'clock train leave? So they told him, 8 o'clock. He said, I'm asking because by my time, by the community clock time, so there's this community clock, if you have been to Lagos Island, around that marina, you see that time, right? So most communities are meant to have is the same thing. Yeah? Amen. She said, by the community time, it's 7:57. By my time, it's 8:04. Again, what time does the 8 o'clock train leave? The man said, 8 o'clock. And so, what time should I expect the train now that I'm here? The man said, you are late. The 8 o'clock train leaves by 8 o'clock. See that you miss it. Or you're behind. But you're right on time. God will so show you and convince you of your purpose. It will take you to pay someone to confuse you. It will be clear to you. I pray for you. Every unrest in your heart ceases. You begin to see God's plan. You begin to see God's purpose. And you won't build in vain. Because that's the flip side of it. Just, except the Lord built a house. They labor in vain that build it. Meaning they'll build it, right? Just like a man can live by bread. They will build the house. But it's in vain. It will look like purpose. It will look like purpose because they will be building. And if there's one thing I'm very careful with us as a church, I tell the leaders every time, we still discussed something yesterday. I said, I don't want to build what God is not in it. I don't want to build what's not in his plan. I remember when we were starting out, I told God, I said, if it's 10 people I have capacity for, may I never exceed it. If it's 500 I have capacity for, shut the door when the time comes. And so sometimes I remember what I said to him. It's an oath between me and him. If that's what I can successfully tailor in your plan, let it be. If my grace increases and my capacity increases, increase me too. Increase the work. But if it doesn't, shut the door. I don't want to build what's not in your plan. I don't want to build, I don't want to be where you are not. I don't want to sing the song that you are not in it. I don't want to dream the dreams that you are far from. I want to be exactly where you put me, doing the things you want me to do. So at the end of this short life, I'll say, no matter how long I live, I said, I've told you before, this is the shortest part of your existence. Even if you live 200, it's still short. It's the shortest part of your existence. So at the end of that short existence, I'll say, I have run my race. I have fulfilled my course with joy. I live for Jesus. And I did my thing. Amen. I walked my own role. I don't want to live. I don't want to. Pray for yourself. Turn these stones to bread. But man shall not live by bread alone. Be sincere with your prayers. Don't waste this moment. Show me who I am.